Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com. My other favorite Jason Carter cut, I got to play this. So from Rosalind Carter, when she passed away, he did speak at her funeral, and here's what he said, that she was a grandmother first, and this is the best soundbite from that funeral.
And she was like everyone else's grandmother in a lot of ways. Almost all of her recipes call for mayonnaise, for example. We all got cards from her on our birthdays, $20 bill in it. When I was 45, $20 bill.
Yeah, there you go.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
Eric Bilstad along with Michelle Richards. My thanks to Greg Pancake Hill for keeping us on track today. Debbie Lazga's got your roads, and Adam Roberts is cranking away in the newsroom. Vince is on his way to New York. Even texting us already. He must be bored on his drive. He's heading to New York to pick up his daughter from her first year in college. Michelle, have you ever been a coach? Volunteer coach for like a kid's sports?
Yes. Youth soccer.
All right. Yeah, sure. Me too. I've done that. Was it time consuming? Did it take a lot of your free time away? Did you have to like study it during your day at school, or a day at work? Did you have to like take time off, PTO, to make sure you're at the field on time?
No PTO. I got to decide when practices were, so
that's
that
nice.
Was a bonus to being the volunteer parent coach. Just as far as, you know, making sure I'm there every weekend to go see the games and coach the games. And if I couldn't be there for some reason, then I had to figure out who was going to be there.
Sure.
I had to look up YouTube videos because I didn't know drills, you know. I played soccer, but do I know what drills that kindergartners should be doing? No, Eric, I don't. So I need to go to YouTube and spend some time figuring that out.
So I, like you, have dabbled in the coaching. Also did some den leader stuff for Cub Scouts, just different things like that. But I'm always amazed at the amount of time and energy that a lot of these parents, these volunteer parents, are willing to give to whatever the organization / event / sport it is. I got some good friends of mine who are coaches, and my kids on teams and different things that they do. And I always appreciate just the amount of energy they put toward that. That is why I can't for the life of me understand how the story in Green Bay is playing out. There's UW Green Bay's got a basketball team. You know, they're the Phoenix. They hired a new coach. The coach they hired is going to continue to do his day job, which is a national radio show. Doug Gottlieb, whose dad was a coach at UW Milwaukee, he was born in Milwaukee, but that's aside the point. He basically is going to keep doing radio in the middle of the afternoon on a national show while also coaching a Division I basketball team.
Which is a little different than the rec department soccer that I was coaching.
He can't like text a parent on the team and say, hey, can you start practice today?
Can you bring the snacks?
Do you mind? Hey, guys, I'm going to really need someone to get all the balls cleaned up for me this time. I need some help with this. Hey, parents, can you help pull the bases from the field? He's calling. Hey, parents, can you help here with the gym? I need everyone to collect everything. How in the world, given how much energy and time a volunteer coach has given to whatever random volleyball team or baseball or soccer, any of those, wrestling, this guy is going to do two full-time jobs, two high-profile full-time jobs at the same time.
Is his radio show every day?
Yeah, Monday through Friday.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's going
to
be hard.
It's like 3 to 6 or something like that. To be honest, I do not listen to his national syndicated radio show, but it's a thing.
Right, and that's a big chunk of time in the middle of your day.
And what do you say as a parent when someone asks you to volunteer for anything? What's the first thing you say? I don't know if I have enough time for that. I can't commit to that. I'm sorry. I mean, I would love to, but I just don't have the time to be able to be the den leader or be the coach or to help with this robotics team.
Is he married? Does he have children? Does he have like other obligations?
Not anymore. I don't know. I'm sure. I don't know. I could speculate on that. I'm assuming he does. He's our age, but I don't know. I'm curious. A lot of people wondering how that's going to work out and whether or not this is a serious hire. I think it's amazing. How about it? Like, let's bring more attention to a tiny little school in Wisconsin. I think there's could be nothing better than that.
Can he work from home with his radio gig?
That's a good question. I mean, you know that you can do a lot of radio anywhere in the country, in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, during pandemic, we were doing radio everywhere. Right. People were working from home, still working from home, mm-hmm. even not doing radio, just doing anything. So why can't he? So, like, if they're going to tip off at 6 o'clock against Cleveland State or what have you, can he just have the little set there and do his show? And then, okay, I got to go because tip off here in 30 seconds.
Or can he pre-record?
Oh, sure.
He's going to figure it out.
Otherwise it'll be a short tenure. We'll have to see. It's 8:19. So coming up, a couple of things we want to get to. There's a story from Target that kind of got washed away in the Friday afternoon news dump of last week that I want to get to. Also, what's going to be happening next year in April, also in Green Bay, is going to mean more for you than you realize. And I'm not talking about the revenue of it. We'll get to that as well. And did you know you are not brushing your teeth correctly? All that and more. It's 8:20 right now. We now have a debate. It will happen. So President Biden's campaign releasing a video this morning calling out their challenger, former President Donald Trump, to debate.
Donald Trump lost two debates to me in 2020. Since then, he hadn't shown up for debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal.
So that was the video this morning, and he's going to do it. Biden says, let's do it.
I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
So that's a shot at the fact that the former president is not in court on Wednesdays, because obviously he's in court those other days. So they're offering two debate challenges that would take place, one this summer and then another in the fall. Now, have we heard from the former president? Do we know if Trump's in on that or not?
Yes, Trump took to Truth Social in a post today saying, "Crooked Joe Biden is the worst debater I've ever faced. He can't put two sentences together. Crooked is also the worst president in the history of the United States by far." He goes on to criticize his policies and says, "I am ready and willing to debate Crooked Joe at the two proposed times in June and September." But he's strongly recommending more than two debates in his post here.
Generally, there have been three, right? At least three. And usually the challenger is calling for more, regardless of the race. Usually a challenger is like, I'll debate him every week, because it only helps the challenger to do so. So to do it twice, to have two, I guess, is better than nothing. But generally, there have been three. I'm always split on these, because while I do firmly believe they don't really help either candidate at all, because by the time they have these debates, usually I think most people kind of know what they're doing as far as where they're going to vote. I do feel that they are important, and that if you're going to be a president, you should be able to stand or sit in some cases and have a debate and quickly be able to provide your thoughts on any given subject. Like, I do think there is something for that. The fact that these two are going to agree to two because neither of them probably want to do anymore, even though I get it, Trump saying he wants to do more. Okay, I guess I'll take two, but I definitely think they're important.
And theatrical,
you're right, yes. And Biden says he'll even do it twice.
I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
Hey, other presidential news. So former President Jimmy Carter, as we all know, has been in hospice since more than a year now, February of 2023. Well, we got a new update on former President Carter, His son, Jason Carter, was at the 28th annual Roslyn Carter Georgia Mental Health Forum in Atlanta earlier this week. And he was talking to WSB on the sidelines of that event. And he says that, you know, his grandpa is nearing the end, but doing okay.
He's still in the same situation he's been in for the last year, right? He's at the end.
So the headline you're going to see there is that former Jimmy Carter is at the end. But he is doing well, says his son.
He knows he's not in charge of this process. And so he is embracing that as much as he can, embracing these days as much as he can. And I think he's doing good.
So again, that's Jason Carter there. Jason did say, hey, people are keeping asking me, Grandpa, how you're doing. And I don't know what to tell them. And he says that Jimmy Carter told him, well, I don't know myself how I'm doing. I guess I'm still here. So it's kind of working out. My other favorite Jason Carter cut. I got to play this. So from Roslyn Carter, when she passed away, he did speak at her funeral. And here's what he said, that she was a grandmother first. And this is the best soundbite from that funeral.
And she was like everyone else's grandmother in a lot of ways. Almost all of her recipes call for mayonnaise, for example. We all got cards from her on our birthdays. $20 bill in it. When I was 45. $20 bill.
Yeah, there you go. It is 8:28. We'll get your headlines in a minute. So when do you brush your teeth? Or perhaps the better question is, when should you brush your teeth? You might not be doing it right, Michelle.
Don't look at me.
A dentist from London who has this huge following on TikTok. She's got all kinds of followers. She recently posted this.
You should never brush straight after breakfast. This is because when you've just eaten, the mouth is in a very acidic state. So if you brush your teeth, you're rubbing that acid on the tooth, which is a mineral, and it can wear it down.
So you should never brush your teeth after breakfast, she said there. This video has more than 12 million views. She also said,
you should never brush after you've just vomited. This is because the contents of the stomach are extremely acidic and the mouth is in a very acidic state. So if you brush straight after, you're basically wearing away your enamel.
So not to be gross, but after you vomit, she's saying, don't brush your teeth.
Which is literally the first thing I want to do if I vomit.
Of course, right? Is this correct?
She is most certainly right. There are times during the day, whether it's after you've eaten, if you've vomited, even first thing in the morning, where the pH of your mouth is really acidic.
So that's Dr. Angela Lewick. She's with the Riverwalk Dentistry in Milwaukee. She's part of the Wisconsin Dental Association. She says that acidic environment in your mouth will wear away the enamel. So if you then try to brush,
if you then add an extra salt, which is essentially what the toothbrush is at that point in time, you will wear enamel away even faster because of acidic environment.
The assault from the toothbrush will mess up your teeth.
You know what? They're lucky I even brush my teeth, for the love of Pete. Come on. Oh, my gosh. Now I have to think of how and when and
yes,
what I've eaten right before. And
see, but that's funny because, right, wasn't the thought always like as soon as you ate? I always thought as soon as I was done eating, if I could, I'd brush my teeth.
Humaning is hard.
Right? Yes. So what do you do instead? Well, she suggests you wait. You wait like 30 to 60 minutes to let the acidic environment turn more neutralized or basic. But you can also chew gum, or you can have mouthwash that doesn't have alcohol in it, or baking soda and water can be used to help neutralize, and then you can brush after that. Now, we did get a text saying, well, what if you brush with baking soda?
Like baking soda toothpaste?
Yes, yes. I guess that would be okay.
Definitely ask your dentist.
And by the way, Debbie, your dentist knows.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't brush. So can you tell when you see teeth, you're like, oh, this guy totally has been brushing right after breakfast?
That's a good question. I would say it depends on the individual, how hard they're brushing. Always using a soft toothbrush is important. But I would say that brushing after breakfast isn't maybe as critical as some of the other things that were mentioned, like the vomiting or if you're sipping on juice all day and things like this. But the enamel will be thinner. The teeth will get a little darker as well because the layer underneath the enamel starts to shine through and it is darker in color. So we start to see that as especially as people age. We wouldn't notice it as much in a kid or an adolescent, but we certainly will start to see the signs of this as somebody gets into their 20s, 30s, 40s, and especially above 60.
Oh, great.
Well, and speaking of kids, you know, your morning routine, you don't have an extra 30 minutes to wait after breakfast. You're right. Moving those kids along and getting them to the bus stop.
Now they're going
to
be asking for gum.
Yes.
Hey, I need more gum, Mom. Thank you to Dr. Angela Lewick there with the Riverwalk Dentistry right here in Milwaukee. 841.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And that's how it sounded at Lambeau Field on Tuesday when Packers president Mark Murphy led the countdown and unveiled the draft clock, which sits prominently in the atrium, and let the games officially begin. The football has landed.
And it's not for another year almost, right?
Yeah, yeah. All right. So, yes, we're talking about the NFL draft. Here's what makes this a story more than just like an analytical sports thing that everyone gets excited about who likes football. It's going to be, many would argue, the largest event in state history, and it's going to take place next April in Green Bay. So the draft was just held in Detroit, which had 700,000 people attend. On social media, the Michigan governor announced that she was passing the ball now to Wisconsin Governor Evers. Here's how that sounded.
I want to congratulate the Cheeseheads and my pal Tony Evers. We're setting the bar for you. Don't fumble this.
Thanks, Big Gretch.
Big Gretch, he called her. Is that a nickname? I've never heard Governor Whitmer called
Big
Gretch.
If it's not, he's going to be in trouble.
So anyway, so yeah, so if you recall, they shipped the draft football over on the Lake Express Ferry. Mark Murphy and others were there. Dignitaries, the governor, was there. Now, and then they brought it up to Green Bay via bicycle, which was kind of neat, an homage. Here's the thing that got me. There is something that Mark Murphy said that stuck out to me.
We were a little behind. I think it was like 20,000 hotel rooms was kind of the minimum. We were just a little short of that. I think we're at 4,500 in Green Bay.
Whoa. That's a lot short.
That's not a little bit.
They need 20,000 and they have 4,500. Now, that's just Green Bay. Obviously, there are hotels everywhere else, right?
And it's very drivable from places like Milwaukee and Madison.
Still, but yeah, you're going to need the whole state, says Murphy.
So we're going to be relying on the whole state to house fans from, you know, Madison to Milwaukee. All the way up and down the state.
So expect that. Expect opportunities, perhaps, for more Airbnbs, especially if you live in Green Bay. Especially, imagine if you have one of those houses where you park the cars. Oh, you got to up that price.
Ooh.
You got to up that price a lot. But you can also expect probably some congestion, too, because you're going to have a lot of high-profile people flying in from all over the country for that event, which is just 3 days. Now, the Packers assume the turnout will be about 250,000 for the duration of the draft, which is like three days, maybe four if you count like before or after. So it's not going to be all at once 250,000 people. Detroit says they had a record attendance of like 775,000, but the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says that was not in just one moment. That was through the duration of the day. Some people would walk through metal detectors more than once, because they're coming out, leaving, whatnot, day after day. So that number is likely inflated a little bit. But still, this is going to be a thing. And if the hotel rooms are short, you know how that can be. It can't be good.
Folks, this is a win-win-win for our state. An effort that's expected to have a nearly $100 million positive impact across the state. That's a lot of money.
Thanks, Big Gretch.